All right, we're going to be in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. If I can kindly ask you to stand when you found that, in honor of God's word. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. And it reads, verse 38, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." And tonight I'm going to preach on the one needful thing, the one needful thing. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we love you and thank you. God, I thank you again for your word. I thank you for just the opportunity you've given me to come preach to these great people, Lord. It's a blessing to be in this church. I thank you for their servant's heart. I thank you for their spirit, Lord. I pray you bless this service. I pray you use it to your glory, Father. And I pray at the end of the night you get all the honor, the glory, and the praise. All this we ask in your precious, holy, and saving name. Amen.
Thinking, what can I do? But when I prayed that last time, His power broke through. And prayer is just as big as God is. Prayer is just as strong as God is strong. Prayer can reach as far as God can reach. Don't ever give up. Just pray, don't ever give up. Just pray. We have been given a means to the throne, to the one whose potential is yet to be known. There is no limit as to what God can do. So just keep on praying. He's listening to you. And prayer is just as big as God is. Prayer is just as strong as God is strong. Prayer can reach as far as God can reach. Don't ever give up. Just pray, don't ever give up. Just pray, and prayer is just as big as God is. Prayer is just as strong as God is strong. Prayer can reach as far as God can reach. Don't ever give up. Just pray, don't ever give up. Just pray.
Thank you, Tony and Jody, for that announcement. Thank you for my crew over there, Brother Johnson. I appreciate that. Paul was going to beat me up this morning, but he still loves me. Praise the Lord. Still love him. It's good to be here. Luke 10, I'm trying to get my thoughts here. Luke 10, verse 38 to 42. Excited for what's going on this evening in the service. I was used to like sitting over there and let preachers speak. I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I'm preaching tonight, so I got to get in that mode. All right. That's a good message that kind of intertwines real nicely with that song, with what I'm going to be preaching on tonight, the one needful thing. Let me just start off by saying, we don't just have a lot of good people in this church. We have a lot of great people in this church. I'm not just saying that because I'm here working on staff here. I just love the people in the church. I love the servant's heart, the spirit. I know when Preacher left, we were talking about all the things I had to do. And after I got through my 30th page of the things I had to do on my list, I'm just teasing. He had 29 pages and a half. list of things I had to do for the thing. He said, beyond all honesty, brother, the thing practically runs itself. The people are so good here. You shouldn't have many problems. The people are just going to be in their place, and you all are. And I just thank you for what you've done. I know if I could show a video camera and let Pastor Angel see you folks in your place, that would he loves that, you know. He loves your faithfulness. So thank you for your faithfulness. And like I said earlier, just a few seconds ago, we don't just have a lot of good people in this church. We have a lot of great people. We have people who teach Sunday school and work nurseries. We have people who help prepare food for different church functions. We have people who help people who have addictions. We have people who are a blessing at nursing homes. We have people who help out on bus routes, and on and on and on it goes. And as a Christian, this is a great way to spend your life serving God. Whether you're in full-time Christian service or a godly 100% sold-out layman, no matter what you're doing, as long as you're serving God in life, there's nothing better than serving God. God honors those who serve. John chapter 12, verse 26 says, "If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." He said God honors those who serve. Great servants become great leaders. And you don't have to turn there. In Joshua 22, verse 2, it says, "And said unto them, ye have kept all that Moses, a servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you." We all know the story about Moses. He led a whole bunch of people out through the Red Sea. What a great leader he was. He was also a great servant. Great servants become great leaders. When you know how to serve, then you'll know how to lead. I tell you what, become a great servant, you'll become a great leader. And Jesus was the example of a servant. John chapter 13, verses 4 and 5 says, "He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded." You know, if you want to see the ultimate story, ultimate picture of a servant, think back to Bible times. There was no sneakers. There was no shoes like this. People wore sandals. They had bare feet. And there was no paved roads. It was all dusty and dirty and hot. If you've ever been out there to Israel, you know what I'm talking about. And you go over there, and Jesus took a basin and said he stuck the feet of the disciples in the basin, and he wiped their feet with a towel, his own towel that he was wearing. Talk about a servant. What an example of a servant. And he was the example of a servant. So I believe tonight we're in agreement that as a Christian, it's wonderful to serve Jesus. If I can just lay the groundwork, just get that point home, nail it home right now, I'm saying if you are a servant, it's nothing better than being a servant. Nothing. It's a great thing to do. Having said that, we look at the story of Martha, Mary, and Jesus. And I'm kind of turn a corner here. And you'll see in the story, Martha invited Jesus into their house. And we see here that Martha was busy serving Jesus. In Luke 10:38, if you're there in your Bibles, in the second half of the verse, it says, "And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." And if you go down to verse 40, it says, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." When you invite someone into your home, you serve that person whom you invited. My wife and I, whenever we invite folks to our home, we don't say, come in and say, okay, do you want to make that for me? Or you want to get that tea for me? No. When we have folks in our house, we'll say, what do you want to drink? What do you want to eat? Have a seat here. We'll take care of all your needs. Then we'll send them a bill later. That's beside the point. That's why no one comes to our house anymore. Can't figure that one out. But anyway, but when you invite someone in, I think we understand Martha, she invited Jesus in, and her plan was to serve him. That's what she wanted to do. And hey, listen, she was serving the Savior. She wasn't serving her own needs. She wasn't sleeping. She wasn't doing a hobby. She wasn't doing some other form of entertainment. But instead, she was busy serving the one whom she invited, Jesus Christ. She was busy serving the Savior. And praise the Lord, that's the whole reason that she was in that kitchen all cumbered and all getting things ready, and the pots and pans were banging and all flustered because her sister wasn't helping her out. She was serving the Savior. However, on the other hand, you have Martha's sister Mary. You have Martha's sister Mary, who wasn't doing any serving. All she was doing while she was in the house, while Jesus was in the house, all that she was doing was sitting at his feet, listening to him talk to her. When I read this passage, I think of a little boy kneeling down, looking up at grandma, telling him a story, and saying, "More, grandma, tell me another story." I know my kids, Lindsay, will always bring me a book and say, "Tell me a story, Daddy. Tell me a story." And I'll tell her, I'll read her a book, and it's another story. I'm like, "Oh, brother." So I tell her another story, and big smile on face. "Okay, another story here, you know." And so I tell her another story, and I try to be a good daddy, you know. Tell her another story. By the 30th story, it's 2 in the morning. Tell her another story. "Oh, go to bed, would you?" No, I'm just kidding. We're not really that mean, sort of. Anyway, but you know, I think when I think of that story, when Mary is kneeling at the Savior's feet, all she's doing is looking up at him, and she's in awe. Her mouth is wide open, her jaw is dropped, and she is listening to every word he's saying. It's almost like she wants to write it all down. Remember, you ever been in those preaching services when a preacher preaches and the hour just flies by? It's like, preacher comes up for the invitation. "Whoa, no, come on the invitation, man. I want to hear more. Why? Because you feel like you're just at his feet, and he's preaching from this book, and man, this book changes lives, praise the Lord, and he preaches from it. You hear him, the preacher preaching on something, and it's just hitting you, and you're like, "Tell me more. Come on, I want to hear more about Jesus Christ. I want to hear more about this prophet. I want to hear more about what he did," and you listen, and you just don't want him to stop. You ever been there before? Man, I tell you what, and that's what Mary was at. She was there, and she was listening to her Savior. And of course, she's interrupted when Martha comes in and says, "Hey, Jesus, you want to have my sister come?" Of course, she said very politely and holinessly that she said to Jesus, let me see back here, verse 40. "But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.'" And when Martha came to Jesus telling him that she needed Mary's help, he responded by saying, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Jesus told her that what Mary was doing was needful or necessary, and that was the better of the two. And can I say it to you tonight, if I had to bring you one point tonight, staying at the feet of Jesus was more important than serving Jesus. Staying at the feet of Jesus was more important than serving Jesus. Just kind of hold on. I promise I'll back this up with Scripture. Some of you have some blank looks on your faces there. What I mean by staying at the feet of Jesus is spending more time in His Word, the Bible, and a time of prayer. And I said at the beginning, it's great to serve the Lord. It's wonderful. And I don't want anybody walking out of here saying, "Brother Jason said I shouldn't serve God." I'm not saying that. We all need to serve God. That's so important to have a Christian life, a servant's heart, a servant's attitude. As I said, Jesus was the example of being a servant. But sitting at his feet or spending time with him in a devotional life is more important. Serving the Lord is a byproduct of spending time with him. Spending time with Jesus is not a byproduct of serving the Lord. In most cases, spending time with Jesus Christ, reading the Bible and praying, comes before serving the Lord. I remember in my life as a Christian, when I first got saved, I can remember it. I first got saved, and I remember this book came alive to me. Like preacher talks about how he couldn't get enough of this book. And I always loved the story of David and Goliath. I loved Samuel. I went in Samuel, I started getting a notebook out and started doing notes. And I don't even like studying. I'm like, "Whoa, what am I doing? What's wrong with me? Allergic reaction or something?" And now I just couldn't get enough of the book, and I was reading. I'm not saying to be arrogant or prideful, but you know what I'm talking about, Christian? Remember that time when this book came alive to you before you were saved? It was meant nothing to you. After you got saved, the book came alive. And I tell you what, in most cases, spending time with him comes before serving the Lord. But after I started getting into the book, that's when the Lord started pricking my heart about soul winning. That's when the Lord started pricking my heart about helping out in some kind of ministry, helping out in a Sunday school class, being an usher, doing anything I could. And the more I got in this book, the more I wanted to serve. And can I tell you folks tonight, this book, sitting at his feet, comes before serving him. There's got to be a relationship first before you start serving him. The majority of you in this room helped out a lot in serving during the fall program, and especially the big day, and I commend you for that. There were so many of you doing so many things. Some of you were multitasking to the nth degree. You have 50 million things going on. You still have time to shake someone's hand, and I praise the Lord for you doing that. But can I say, if you were to stop right now, tonight, sitting at Jesus' feet, you stopped having a prayer life, you stopped having a devotional life, you stopped praying, you stopped reading His Word, you probably won't be in the same position during the next fall program of 2010. You might not even be in church anymore.
It's so important to sit at His feet. Jesus said, hey, listen, Martha, you're coming about many things, but your sister, she chose that which was a needful thing. It was a needful thing, sitting at my feet. And let me explain what I mean by serving the Lord. It's a desire in your heart to do something for Jesus. And when you do it out of a joyful heart. Go to Nehemiah chapter 8, if you would. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. I mean serving the Lord. Desire in your heart to do something for Jesus. And when you do it out of a joyful heart. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. There's Ezra, then there's Nehemiah, then there's Esther. There in the Old Testament. We'll find those three books here, pretty much there. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, it says, and he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's what the Bible says. It's that joyful spirit that keeps you going, that seems to be what gives you the strength to go on for the Lord. Let me tell you, illustrate what I'm talking about. A person who has a joyful spirit, when they're on a bus route, and they're headed to their bus route, and they say, man, I'm excited to go on a bus route, I can't wait to see the kids, and man, I hope Johnny comes tomorrow, and I hope Janet, she comes on the bus, and I'm looking forward to my bus route, and you're burdened for your kids during the week. That's someone who has a joyful spirit. That's someone who has a joyful spirit for serving. That's what serving the Lord is. But serving the Lord is not doing something like this, doing it because you're forced to, or you feel like a burden every time you do it. I think of the illustration of a person maybe going on the bus route who complains the whole way of the bus about the snotty-nosed kids and the hot buses. Oh, man, that bus is so hot. I hate the summer, and the kids are so snotty-nosed kids, and swine flu's going everywhere. I got to wear a face mask now. Good night. You know, I can't touch them. Got to have a purple circle around me. And so, some of you don't know who that is, but anyway, I'll move on. Serving the Lord is not doing it because you're forced to. It's doing it because you want to. That's what I mean by serving the Lord. And when you want to serve the Lord, that comes after you've sat at Jesus' feet. That's the more needful thing. That's more. And to prove this, let me prove this in case, I'll make sure to back it up with Scripture. To prove this, God told us never, never to stop praying or having an attitude of prayer. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, He said, pray without ceasing. Without ceasing means never stop. He said, never stop praying. And prayer is one of those things that's sitting at Jesus' feet. When you sit at Jesus' feet, you're having a prayer life and having a devotional life. He said, never stop praying. But He did say that it's okay to rest from serving Him for a time. If you go to Mark chapter 6, it says in verse 12 to 13, it says, I'll give you a second here to get there. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. This is the disciples are talking about. They cast out devils. What they were doing right now, they're serving God. Now go down to verses 30 to 31, if you would, of the same chapter. And it says, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told Him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And He said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And let me say, I'm going to say this a million times tonight. I'm not saying that you shouldn't serve the Lord. Please don't let me think you're saying that. But the point I'm trying to make is, before you start serving the Lord, you have to have time at the Savior's feet. Prayer life is much more important than serving. Because if you don't have a prayer life, you don't have a Bible time life, there's going to come a time where you're going to stop serving. I see it all the time in teen church, and some of the men who preach to me in teen church probably can agree with what I'm talking about. You see these guys on fire. They'll start coming to the afternoon program. They'll start getting in. They'll bring their Bible. They'll get excited. They'll be on fire. Man, we're so excited. We get a thrill off that. It's almost like getting a sugar rush off watching these kids. Yeah, I'm so excited and pumped. And we have a good time off of it, and everything's going well. But all of a sudden, these kids they stop reading their Bible. They don't get a devotional life, and some bad person comes along the way, or some bad element, or some bad habit comes along the line, and they stop coming to church. Instead of seeing them every Sunday, you see them every other Sunday. Instead of coming to the afternoon program, they stop coming. Instead of sitting in the front row, they sit in the back row. Why? Because maybe these kids in the afternoon program were servants. They were always helping, maybe moving the money machine around, or helping me or Brother Mick or Brother Jeff or someone help Brother Bragg, or helping out in some area around the church, being a blessing on Sunday afternoons. But if they never spend time at Jesus' feet, a lot of times they'll start you'll never see him again. Why is that? Because, yeah, they were serving for a little bit, but they never had time at Jesus' feet, which was the most needful thing. So what's so special about sitting at Jesus' feet? What's so special about sitting at Jesus' feet? Well, number one, it's a place of healing. It's a place of healing. Go to Matthew chapter 15, verse 30, if you would. Matthew chapter 15, verse 30. Mary was at Jesus' feet, and that's where she needed to be. That's where Martha needed to be. It's a place of healing. Matthew chapter 15, verse 30. It says, "And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them." It's a place of healing. Listen, folks, we're living in a land diseased with abortion, sodomy, anti-God ideas, and false religions. But God said that if born-again Christians will come back... I'm jumping ahead here. Go to 1 Chronicles, if you would. 7:14. Oh, I've written down here. I hope that's it. 1 Chronicles. It's a very famous verse. It's 1 Chronicles. I failed to write it down. Sorry about that. No. Try 2 Chronicles. That's on it then. I'm sorry about that, folks. I apologize. Yes. Good. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It says, "If my people, the Christians, born-again Christians, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways..." I'll stop there. He's saying, listen, if Christians, if born-again Christians will come back to God and will come back to him sitting at his feet, come back to him getting faithful and reading this book, and we're living in a time where the majority of people in this church are doing that. I bet you 85% of the people in this church have a prayer life, have a devotional life, but there's a lot of Christians out there that don't have, preacher said there's a lot of good churches out there, and there are a lot of good churches out there, but there's a lot of churches out there, unfortunately, don't preach the gospel, and they don't preach the whole counsel of God, and people aren't getting fed like they need to get fed, and people aren't getting devotional life, and God's saying, if my people, my Christians will come back to me, will sit at my feet, will hear from him, if they'll have a prayer life, have a devotional life, just listen to God and stay close to him, he said he promised to heal their land. If you go look at the second part of verse 14, it says, "Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." However, with all the negative talk about what's going on in America, it's good to see so many churches that are starting all over the country. With more churches starting all over America, there will be more people getting saved, and hopefully more views changing to pro-God. And God might just begin to heal this country. Praise the Lord. Hey, listen, he said, how are you gonna, the first thing, there's healing at the foot of Jesus. You get people in church, you get them saved, you get them having understanding what a devotional life is. You have them get those people to go home during the week and have some time where they spend in the Word of God, reading the Word and praying. And those people will start turning their hearts to God. Their views will change. Their voting procedures will change. Everything will change because they're sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. And that's where they need to be, at the feet of Jesus. It's a place of healing. The more people that come to Jesus' feet, the more he will heal our land. When we're at Jesus' feet, spending time with him in our Bible and in prayer, that's a time to cry out to him and let him know about what's troubling us and causing us pain. Through his word, he sends comfort. Through his word, he sends relief from the pain. If you would, go to Psalm chapter 107. Psalm chapter 107. So he promised to heal our land. It's healing at the feet of Jesus. But on a personal level, go to Psalm chapter 107, if you would, and verses 19 to 20. It says, "Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." It's at Jesus' feet that we receive healing. These folks that cry out to him and he healed them. He sent them healing. So number one, at the feet of Jesus is a place of healing. Number two, it's a place of worship. It's a place of worship. Go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 9, if you would. It's a place of worship. says, chapter 28, verse 9 of Matthew. It says, as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. The word worship in the physical sense represents someone who is cast down, face down to the ground. But in this verse, both Mary Magdalene and Mary had held Jesus by the feet. This is that Jesus just rose from the dead. He was resurrected. And they went and they grabbed him at his feet. So obviously when they grabbed his feet, they were face down because his feet weren't up in the air, of course. So they were out on the ground with him. They grabbed his feet and they were in a prostrate position, a place of worship. And when we're at Jesus' feet, spending time with him in our Bible and prayer time, it helps to keep us humble. A time of worship helps to keep us humble. It protects us from the dangers that pride brings. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. At Jesus' feet, we stay protected. Listen, folks, in today's economy, in today's world, we need to stay humble. There's so much pride going around. It's all about me, I need this, I want this, I got to fill my belly, I got to fill my bank account, I got to fill this, fill that, everything else. But we need to stay humble. And I tell you, at Jesus' feet is a place of worship. And when you're worshiping at Jesus' feet, spiritually speaking, you're in a prostrated position. You're down, you're grabbing his feet. You're down, your face is down on the ground. Hey, listen, it's great for a Christian when they spend some time in prayer, when they physically get on their knees and physically get their head to the ground. Now, I know some people physically who can't do that, but if you can do that, try it someday. Try it sometime. And maybe a lot of us do in this room, but I tell you what, when you physically get on your knees and your face is on the ground, you'll be surprised already how quick your attitude changes to that of humility. It's a humbling thing to be on your face. The ground's dirty. People walk on it. Man, your knees get dirty. You might have a nice suit on, or you better go to work. And maybe you have to wear a nice pair of Dockers. Maybe you have to put your knees on a cushion so it doesn't touch the bare floor. Maybe you have to put your head on a cushion so it doesn't get dirty. Maybe your hair gets matted when you get up. Just physically speaking, when you have you're in a prostrated position, when you're at Jesus' feet, when you're worshiping Him, when you're praying, it's humbling just to be at His feet, just prostrated. I encourage you to do it, folks, and I'm by no means am I an expert. I don't try to say that I am. But you'd be surprised what happens to your attitude already, how it gets humble when you're physically in that position. And by the way, when you're at Jesus' feet, you stay protected. Because again, I'll read that verse again, Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. But when you're at Jesus' feet, it's a place of worship. It's a place of humility. And when you're at Jesus' feet, what He's doing is protecting you from your pride. Because, folks, we have pride. Every single day, this pride grows. It comes back like a cancer. It eats at us like a fungus. We can do everything we can to wash it off. But unfortunately, the next day we wake up, it's there again. And we've got to come to Him again, day after day, and week after week, and come to Him and say, Lord, I need you to keep me humble. Help me keep myself humble before you because of my pride. I don't want to fall into destruction. I don't want to have a haughty spirit and fall into a fall. I don't want to do that. I want to have an attitude of worship. Attitude of worship. So number two, it's a place of worship. And number three, at Jesus' feet, what's so special about being at Jesus' feet? It's a place of a sound mind. It's a place of a sound mind. And we were kind of there earlier today. But Luke chapter 8, if you would, and verse 35. We were in another one of the Gospels, and we read this morning, if you were in the service, about the two possessed men. And this is a similar passage here in Luke chapter 8, verse 35. Turn there. And it says, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus, he was clothed, and he was in his right mind. Listen, folks, we're living in a world of stress. Let me read you an article. In 1983, Time magazine declared that stress was the epidemic of the 80s. That was 20 years ago. What does it say about us now? The American Institute of Stress estimates that 75 to 90% of all visits to primary care physicians for all illnesses are caused or made worse by stress. Listen, folks, we're racing to meet deadlines. We're trying to beat traffic. Traffic lights. We're trying to eat food faster. When the food doesn't come to us in 2 minutes, we get angry. Ah! We start beating the horn. Hurry up! We gotta get going. We gotta go move quicker and quicker and faster and faster. I was talking to a brother a couple days ago, and he was telling me living out in Iowa, think time is so slow. Things just, I'll go get milk sometime today. 2-3 hours later, oh, I'll go get milk sometime today. And so slow. Hey, listen, I would love to live in that just slow down time because there's no stress, it seems like, there. But we're living in a stressed environment where we're racing and we're going so fast. And that stress can exhaust the sharpest of minds and blur our judgment. But it's at Jesus' feet, spending time with Him in our Bible and prayer time, that time stops because you're stopped just listening to the Savior and talking to the Savior. Listen, when you're there, it's almost like there's no. Of course, we got to get up and do our responsibilities later. But when you're in a time of prayer, it's like it's almost like there's no clock. There's no watch. You're just you and God. He cares less about what's on the clock. He would love it if you stay there all day with Him, spend time in prayer. Amen. He would love it if you spend at His feet all day long. But listen, at Jesus' feet, there is peace and there is serenity. Listen, I tell you what, being at Jesus' feet is such an important place to be. It's such a vital place to be for a Christian. We need to be at Jesus' feet first. You're never going to learn to serve, be a good servant, stay a servant, unless you learn to stay at Jesus' feet. I'm almost done here. Serving God is important for a Christian. But sometimes we get so caught up with serving that we seem to be doing it mechanically and we forget to put our heart in it. Spending time at Jesus' feet keeps our heart in your service for God. In regards to our prayer time, because part of staying at Jesus' feet, E.M. Bounds said, prayer is a contact of a living soul with God. In prayer, God stoops to kiss man, to bless man, and to aid in everything that God can devise or man can need. Look, we have the King of all kings, the Lord of lords. He made the earth in 6 days. He has a power, He has a hand to span the heavens. He has the power to keep our heart going or stop it. He has power, nothing is away from His command. He can do anything He wants. And He wants to hear from us. Let it sink in for a little while. This boggles the mind. You know, I said earlier, what is man? Thou art mindful of him. We're sinners. We deserve hell. Yet, for whatever reason, He loved us, sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, to come down and be like a servant and come down and die on the cross for us. At any moment, He could have had the legions of angels come and stop it, but He kept it going. He died on the cross because He loves us. And listen, that same Jesus Christ died on the cross, that same God who made the earth in 6 days wants to hear from us. He wants to hear from us. But the thing is, He'll never force us to sit at His feet. He never will. That's the thing, folks. He's not going to say, you better be at my feet, sitting down, reading your Bible and praying at 8:30 tomorrow morning. I want you there for a half an hour. He doesn't do that, does He? I always take a picture. I might have mentioned this in the time past when I preached here. But I always picture a person who has an appointment with God, maybe a devotional appointment. Maybe every day you pray at 8 o'clock in the morning or 7 in the morning or 6 in the morning or whatever. And I always picture Jesus sitting at a tree or on a park bench just waiting for you to show up. Man, I hope He comes today. I'm so excited. And then every time you show up to pray with Him and read your Bible, it's like you're sitting right next to Him. And you guys fellowship one to another, you and God. And you tell Him what's going on in your heart. And He tells you how you can make it through the day and have that glorified life. And He gives you the strength. He gives you what you need to get through the day. But those days you don't show up, the days you're just too busy or you forget to do it or you're sleeping or whatever, He's sitting on the same park bench waiting for you. He's waiting for you. He says, where are you? Best thing about God, the next morning, you know where He is? At the park bench waiting for you. That's where He is. There's nothing better than sitting at His feet. I love serving God. I love it. I do. I wouldn't trade it in for the world. I love being in this church. I love you people. I love being here. I love being in teen church. I love the people I serve with. It's a lot of fun. I wouldn't trade it for anything. But I tell you what, I know if I didn't have a prayer life, if I didn't spend time with God in prayer, if I didn't see my Bible, I wouldn't be here anymore. You know, I won't be here. I need to be an example. I have a family I need to be an example too. Sorry. Charles Spurgeon said, prayer is a slender nerve that moveth the muscle of omnipotence. We need to pray. We need to pray. Listen, folks, if you're going to be here next year, if you're going to be in the same seat next year, you need to be at His feet. We desperately need to continuously come to Jesus' feet, spending time with Him in our Bible and prayer time. And by the way, when we're at Jesus' feet, He has our complete attention. It floors me that a God of gods and Lord of lords would want my complete attention. Cast all, bow your heads and close your eyes if you would. I'm done tonight. Can I ask, is anyone here who can say, Brother Jason, there's something in this message that spoke to my heart with how I look at things and how I need to have a time with God. My time at His feet is a needful thing. If the Lord spoke in your heart, would you raise your hand? Amen. Say, Brother Jason, is there anyone under the sound of my voice who you say, Brother Jason, I'm not saved. I don't remember a time and a place when I asked in my heart my personal Savior. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I'm not saved. With your hands raised, say, Brother Jason, I'm not saved. Would you raise your hand and say, I'm not saved tonight? I'm not saved. Okay. And finally, all right, two more questions. Anyone here say, Brother Jason, I'm not baptized. I've been saved before, but I've never been baptized in deep water. Would you raise your hand and say, I need to be baptized tonight? You need to be baptized. Okay. And finally, anyone here who's already spoken to Brother Caleb or preacher about church membership and you're kind of come forward. You say, Brother Jason, I'm kind of come forward. I've already spoken to Brother Caleb, a preacher, and I want to come forward for church membership. Would you raise your hand? Okay. Well, the Lord spoke to your heart. When the music plays, you come. Would you all stand?